Freedom to join God's forever family. Now, a lot of us did not have a good family life growing up. I never had a father image in the house. Very difficult for me because I love my son dearly. Jason loved him dearly, but I never had a mentor of teaching me how to be a father. Because my father had died when I was about 6 or 7 years old, and I was never allowed to be around him prior to that because that was the day of tuberculosis time, and everybody was kept separate because of TB. And then after many years of knowing, and after he had died, and I was told that he died of tuberculosis, and I was able to get a hold of a record of my father. And strangely enough, after his death, not long after, they had discovered it, but it wasn't mentioned. My father, they never could find the tubercular germ in his body. And I think, you know, it's strange how a person can die like that. But I did not have the father image. Now, what I heard about my father, it would not have been a good image, but that's not for the world to decide. That's for God to decide. But in doing so, you and I, because we are creation of God's image and created for a purpose, God will always send someone to train us in the area that we're going to focus on, that He wants to focus on in our life. Amen. I wished I could have been a better father, but I don't know what that means. How many times have you said, boy, I wished I had done better? I mean, and you got the family all over and everybody's talking, boy, I didn't do a very good job with you, did I? That does not cheer up the boy that you're saying that to with him. But you do the best job that you can. Do you know what's the most important key to being a father or a parent, period? Love. Do you have the love in your heart for that child? For the people around you. So not being trained in it, God instilled in every one of us the love factor. God says, I'm going to love you so much, Larry, you're going to have enough love in you, it's going to overflow. Well, preacher, sometimes we don't see a lot of that. Well, sometimes you're not looking deep enough. Pay attention. Even though you think the chastising for a moment from a parent is so horrible, I can't believe the meanest person I ever met. That's, you know, I cannot believe my mother. Do you know what she said to me? Mm-hmm. She said, no. I can't believe that. And I gave her every opportunity to say yes. God says, I want you to be a part of my family. Now, God knows how to be a father.
Amen.
God knows how to instill in every man's heart the desire to love and be a father. Well, I'm not the best father. Well, get over it, because you're not going to meet the best father until you meet Jesus Christ,
Amen.
Your Savior. In Christ, you got a family that'll last forever. A family of love. Now, my son made some mistakes growing up. Even though he told me he didn't, I know he did. Grandson doing the same thing. You know what that's called? Life. Do you know what gets us through life in each step, Mom, Dad? Loving. anyway. Loving, sometimes, I have a feeling I might have been a child that was not always lovable. Sometimes I may have just refused to do what I was told to do and do just exactly the opposite just to see what would happen. Until you find out what happened and then you remember, don't do that again. But God says, I'm different. I'm a father forever. I'm going to love you forever. Through your good times, through your bad times, there's nothing in your life that will stop God from loving you. Because God is love. And he said, I want to invite you to become a part of the family of God. I have the freedom in America to become a part of the family of God. I don't have to hide to worship yet. We can throw the doors open. Sadly, in our lifetime, that many of us thought we would never see, we have to have security within God's house. I remember when the churches used to be left open. You're driving through a town or going anywhere, and if you felt like, you know, you were overwhelmed with something, you could walk in any church because the doors would be unlocked. Amen. And go in and pray at an altar or just sit in a pew and talk to God. You can't do that now because of the society in which we're living. We must not, as Christians, become a part of encouraging that type of society, though. Amen. We're going to love them. Now, just like when you was growing up, and your mother, it was my mother, was a big-time disciplinarian. Okay. See what happened in my head? And she'd grab that hair, or she would say, you say something wrong, and you start looking to see where her arms are. Because you go get it right upside the head, and it's when you're not expecting it. One time I met Faye and took her over, you know, I'm dodging and all of that, because I knew even as an adult that some of my statements might excite that arm to work real well. There are two types of families in this world, families of the world and family of God. In Jesus, because of Jesus, the love that Jesus gave us gave me a right to become a member of God's family. Now, the last part, I'll tell you, it's a forever one. But to become a member of God's family, God says, I created you for a purpose. So whether I had a father or not, whether I grew up not being loved, I never heard the word love. I never heard my mother say, I love you, son. I never heard that. All the years of me growing up, if she was ever asked, she would say, I love all. Well, she actually said, I love all my boys. I had a sister. I don't know what happened to her. I love all my boys, but never an individual. I love you. A care. Did I miss that? I didn't know it until I missed it. I didn't realize it till I got older, and I would watch other families. But you see, in that scenario of being a family of the world, and I was, God looks in, and God said, Jesus, take care of Larry Pete. Boy, Jesus had done a good job taking care of me. He loved me as a snotty-nosed kid, Buffalo Hill, Buffalo, Kentucky. Thank you very much. Jesus knew me then. And Jesus invited me. But now I'll tell you this. Now, and others of you I've talked to over time know the feeling of this. Jesus was in my heart before I accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior, because I didn't know what that meant. I didn't know how to do that. And I grew up knowing Jesus before I was legitimately supposed to, according to the adults. God is going to send the protector for you. Now, that protector may be in a human form, but I guarantee you, the greatest love you'll ever have in your heart is the Savior who lives in your heart right now. At what point does it come into your heart? I don't know that He is wasn't in my heart before I was born. I know He loved me that much. I know He watched over me because my mother attempted to abort me. Now, whether you think so or not, it didn't work. And Jesus called me to preach His message. So love, I am what I am because of the way I was or was not raised. You am what you am because you choose to be who you am.
Amen.
Boy, I blew that one all to pieces, didn't I, Dory? Oh, gosh. Yes. You see, you and I have the responsibility. God said, I'm going to express my love to you. You and I have the responsibility to accept that love and to choose for ourselves the right to become children of God. When you've been given the invitation, when you've been given the hope, who's the key? Jesus is the key, the one who knows you. To become a family member. Jesus said, I welcome you. Ephesians 2:19, consequently, you are no longer foreigners and aliens, but fellow citizens with God's people and members, listen to this one, of God's household. I got a father in heaven. I don't know anything about the human father. I got a father in heaven who invited me to come on and live with him forever. That's a family you're not going to break up. It's a family full of love. A family loaded with forgiveness. I got a father that will send and has sent His Holy Spirit to live in me so that I will never be separated from His power or His love. I got a father in heaven waiting for me to get there. Amen. Excited. I got a father that's excited about me coming. All of us can't say that, can we, of the earthly situation? But the earthly family is to be godly focused. And when it isn't godly focused, then we have a problem in the family. Now, because that you have a problem in your family doesn't mean that you don't love the Lord. It means that you're a human being. But I want you to remember, when you think nobody on planet Earth cares about you, I want you to know you have a father in heaven that sent his only begotten son, that his son would make sure that you and I get to come be with him. Larry, I'm going to die for you. Larry, for every foolish mistake you've ever made, for every intentional sin you've ever committed, for anything that's gone on in your life, I want you to know that my Father sent me to take care of it for you. I'm going to pay for you, Larry, to know what freedom is all about. And Jesus went to the cross, and with his blood, he paid for my freedom. Now that's being free indeed. And he said, we got a family reunion coming, Larry. I won't miss that one. Yeah, there's food. It's supper time. And whether I've ever told you all or not, I got a personal invitation. You did too, when you know Jesus. You don't have to carry the card, the invitation with you. Because the one who invited you knows your name. And he ain't going to forget you. Larry, you've been a mess your whole life. And I love you, son. Come on in. The family of God. That's the family. What do I have to do to get forgiveness? I got forgiveness. I didn't do anything to earn it. I haven't done anything over the years to keep it. It doesn't work that way. God's love supersedes any concept of love that you have in your mind. God says, I love you, Larry. Come on home. In the family of God, there are perks. I like perks. You know, you go to a hotel and you spend I don't know how much money for a room in a hotel, and they give you a perk. You got that free little bottle of shampoo. I really need those. But you know, that's what they call a perk. Nobody told you you paid for that perk many times over. Amen. Not in God's family. You got a lot of perks, folks. Perk number one, a new way of thinking and seeing and living. When I was born again, I received in that born again experience a number one perk from God, a new way to think, a new way to see, and a new way to live. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. You're different. The old has gone. The new is here. Born again. God says, I want you to be a part of my family. Larry, I want you to think a little different now. Don't think of a family that will ever desert you. You're part of my family now. You can't hide from me either, Larry. Wherever you are, I am. Now, your responsibility in this family, let Jesus be seen by those around you, because Jesus is in you. The love of God is in you. What do I do? Tell everybody, show everybody. Express the love to the world Invite them to come in, but don't you dare go there. You go there to do the invitation, but then you bring them in. Good song there too. Bring them in from a world of sin. Perk number two, God's unfailing gift of love. Now, God's gift of love was born in a manger. His name is Jesus. It's the ultimate love gift from the Creator of all that exists. His love gift was so profound, had so much love in it, that God, the all-powerful, all-knowing, the God, the be everywhere at the same time, the God of all, stood back. He saw what's coming. He stood back when he could have wiped everyone off the face of the earth and watched his son hang on a cross, beaten, ridiculed, mocked, so miserable, the scripture says, that he did not even look human. That's how bad he was beaten. You don't see that on TV. You won't see that in the movie. So bad, he did not look human. The scripture says that men had to turn their head away to keep from having to look at what was there. That's strange. They turned their head away from the ultimate true love. Why? Because Jesus on the cross portrays the ugliness of sin. For on that cross, he was taking all the punishment for all the sins that had ever been committed or ever would be committed. He's taking it right there on that cross, paying for our freedom to be a part of his family. You see, he paid for me. He paid for you. And he did it with love. I've always asked, and I ask many of you, many that I have watched accept Christ in our church or out in the field or in a garage or anywhere else where they accept Christ. And I always nail them with it. You still at the foot of the cross, boy? I got to thinking about that. At the foot of the cross, that's what we say where we meet Jesus and we do. But I want you to think about something. What's at the foot of the cross? The greatest collection of human filth in existence. Everyone that died on the cross died naked. There was no covering upon them. All the body fluids, all the filth that's a part of their body, the blood dripping down at the foot of the cross loaded with all of the body functions, all at the foot of the cross. And at the foot of the cross is where I met Jesus. That's my filth there. My filth is right there. Jesus, who knew no sin, who knew no sin, but conquered all, did so for you and me. So I'm excited to tell you, the foot of the cross is where I want to be. It's the filthiest place in the human existence you could be. But in the eyes of God, you and I at that foot, we are expressing to Him, I'm sorry, Lord. Forgive me, a sinner. I accept Jesus as Lord of my life. Forgive me for my sins. Instantly, I became a part of the family of God. A family with perks, thinking different. His love gift is so amazing. Well, listen to John 3:16, our favorite scripture on it. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever, I like old English because it says, whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I don't mean you walking around half dead. I remember a funeral home director. He had a odd humor. He had a sign stuck up and said, and this was years ago, don't walk around looking half dead. I'll bury you for $300. Took me a while working on that one. But many Christians will walk around acting half dead. Yeah, I'm a Christian. Yeah, I'm a Christian. Praise God, I love the Lord. I am loved by the greatest family you can imagine. The family of God. And God said, Larry, I love you when you're right. I love you when you're wrong. I stood back and watched my Son give it all so that I would see no sin in you at all. And then one day I get to hear, whoo, I'm excited about that day. Welcome home. Larry, welcome on a journey in the world. You tell them, Eli, on a German, in this whole world, hear me well, there's no love like the love of Jesus Christ in you. We all have mountains to climb, folks. Every one of us have Goliaths that are standing out there in our path. Every one of us have mountains they've told us that can't be climbed. You got a problem with the situation? Tell God on it. You already got Jesus in your heart. You have the Holy Spirit of God in your life. Utilize the power of the love of God and keep walking. Larry, you're walking straight into Goliath. Oh, I suggest he move, because I'm on a mission for God. He's big and He's ugly, isn't He? I got a Jesus that, because of the sin that this Goliath looks like to me, my Jesus took that sin, and at the foot of the cross, you saw all the filth of it poured out right there, so it wouldn't be in my heart. Jesus made you pure when you said yes to Jesus. Don't you let somebody tell you you're worthless. Nothing else, call you pastor. He'll get you in more trouble than you can stand. Because you talk about one of my children. We're going to talk. And my children are part of the family of God. And if you mess with them too much, I'll tell Jesus on you. You think that there's no power there? Trust me, folks. Because you're a part of a family that won't quit. Ephesians 2:18, for through him we both have access to the Father by one Spirit. Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. The one in God is the one in us. You can't be separated. Where Jesus is, God is. Where the Holy Spirit is, did not the Holy Spirit come and dwell in you when you said yes to Jesus? Don't you understand that where the Holy Spirit is, God the Father, God the Son, right there? Don't you understand that God is paying attention to his family? And because we said yes to Jesus, yes, I'm proud of my family. My Christian family, the family of God, Ephesians 2:22. And in him, you too, now listen to this, are being built together to become, you're being built together to become a dwelling, meaning Jesus is dwelling in you. In which God lives by his Spirit. That's Jesus in you. And all the hard stuff's already done. I got the easy part. I get to tell you about the love of Almighty God. And you better take that to the bank. God's love so great. You can't get around it. So deep, you can't go under it. So high, you can't go over it. So why in the world would I be afraid of the Goliath, any of them, in my life? Because folks, the closer I get to them, the more I know. They got a whooping coming, a come-upping coming. I'm not doing that one any good either, though, we're hanging there. When my teachers are around, well, she wasn't my teacher, but when teachers are around, I get nervous on her. She's not up there yet, girl. But think of it. God says, wait a minute. He called Daddy on us. Yeah. Jesus looked up on the cross. Remember? Abba. Hebrew Daddy. And Jesus cried out because the one thing you and I will never feel, that's the withdrawal of the Holy Spirit from us. God withdrawing back. You know how I know you'll never feel that? Because Jesus took it for me. And he cried out, Daddy, Daddy, why have you forsaken me? Because of me, Jesus. You had to take that feeling so I will never feel it. Amen. That's a family I want to be a part of, folks. Amen. As a matter of fact, I'm here to proclaim to you, I am a part of the family of God. Amen. And all of us getting together, all of our aggravated personalities together in one place is called a church. It's called a body of God. Christ on earth is the church. All these personalities together. Going to my final perk I want you to hear. Family perk number three. An inseparable, forever family relationship. Be careful what you say about the preacher today, because you're going to have to see him in heaven tomorrow. No, that stuff won't come up. Trust me. What you're going to see in heaven is the perfect family. You're not going to find it here on earth. Too many flaws, too many mistakes of the human part. But my family is each one of you. And I tell you right now, I don't know if there's some Christians that you just don't care anything about being around or not. I got news for you. You're going to spend eternity with them. So you just might as well start loving them right now, because you're going to be loving them later. Listen to the scripture. For I am convinced, Romans 8, 38 and 39, I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Amen. Nothing can separate us from that. Not our own ignorance. And we can get pretty dumb sometimes. But that's not going to pull us away. I'm so happy that I learned many years ago, I don't even have to know how to spell Jesus to accept Jesus. I don't have to memorize a whole bunch of scripture. The scripture is there for my taking. And for what, as you get older, you don't remember a whole lot of things.
Amen to that.
But one thing I remember, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. That's sort of simple, Larry. Well, I'm sort of a simple person. And I belong to the family of God. If you don't, you can. For when the Holy Spirit convicts your heart and that conviction says to you, you know, I'm lacking, that Spirit in you is God telling you, you don't have to lack. Say yes to my Son. Say you're sorry for the sin in your life. Ask Jesus to come in, and you will become a part of the greatest family in existence, the family of God. And by the way, it's the true forever family. Forever and ever and ever, we're going to be together praising God. That's God's word. It doesn't get better than God's word. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for each day, for each minute. We praise you, dear Lord God, that you allow us to continue to proclaim your truth. As each of us search our heart, Father, give us strength and courage and the boldness to say, Jesus, come in. Save me, Lord. Hear my Lord, save me. Help us, Father, as we make those commitments. Help us to stand up, Father, publicly, to let the world know publicly that Jesus Christ is Lord of Lords and King of Kings. We ask your blessing upon each one now as we, dear Heavenly Father, depart this place in service to you. It's in Jesus' name we ask your blessing. Amen.